The information is for educational purposes and not a substitute for medical care. This show is not intended to diagnose, treat, or prescribe. The information described today is not a substitute for your own intuition or consultation with a duly licensed practitioner. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Sam Byrne. I'd like to welcome you to 2020 iTalk, where we bring in new and different ideas on vision, health, spirituality. So it's a beautiful day here in Santa Fe. I am broadcasting from my geodome, actually just north of Santa Fe, a place called Tasuki, New Mexico. And I actually put on some medicinal essential oils today. I'd like to tell you the two that I put on. The first is called Moena, and she is an amazing, amazing diva. She is very helpful for purification. So I think this show is going to be about purifying and exploring the three-dimensional vision that we all are capable of accessing. The other essential oil that I applied today, she is one of my allies. She is red spruce. And what I love about red spruce is that she's very grounding, but she also will give you kind of a kick in the pants if you're wanting to create some transformation in your life. Should kind of nudge you forward, and you have no choice to say no. So I use the medicinal essences quite a bit, physical, emotional, spiritual, health, and we'll talk about medicinal essences as we go along. So I just returned from a wonderful 5 days up in Vancouver, British Columbia, and had my friends up there put on a beautiful workshop for me. I have these three wonderful ladies who organize a yearly event up there. And it's an interesting group of folks because Vancouver is, part of the Western face of the West Coast that, you know, there's a lot of openness and there's a lot of alternative therapies, a lot of holistic healing that is offered there. And yet in terms of eye care and vision care, it's pretty barren. It's pretty bleak. And although I've taught some of the eye doctors up there, they just don't quite get it in terms of what people are asking for. So I put on a two-day workshop. We must have had about 35 people at the class. And the focus of the class was on the neuroplasticity of vision. And neuroplasticity, that's kind of a buzzword these days, which has to do with not only regenerating the brain and all the nervous system, but also creating new pathways, which I actually call parallel universes. And because the eyes are an extension of brain tissue, I actually nickname the eyes the frontal lobes of the brain because they are the frontal lobes, that you can regenerate the eyes and you can also create new pathways. And that was the focus of the workshop. And people had amazing healings over the weekend. I taught them how to do color therapy and use color on their eyes to open up their peripheral vision. We used specially designed yoked prisms. These are special glasses that actually open up a person's physical and peripheral vision, as well as get in touch with the posture and movement. And that was pretty enlightening for many. We used homeopathic glasses. That's an interesting term, homeopathic glasses. These are glasses that when you put them on, they change the light pattern into the eyes, and it spreads the light out more equally among the along the retina. So any lens that we wear based on the 20/20 eye chart distorts and narrows our light pattern into the eyes. But these homeopathic glasses actually help reorganize and repattern the light so that it's more balanced. And when that happens, it creates such a relaxation, not only in the eyes and vision, but in the whole person. We also explored medicinal aromatherapy and essential oils, and that was amazing. We did some meditations and really helped people explore different aspects of their health using these wonderful plant medicine divas. And then we did continuum movement. I spoke about continuum on our last show. And with continuum, what we did was we kind of opened up our fluid body using different sound streams and breath and movement patterns. And people love that. It's just phenomenal. And the room that we were in faced this forest, these old growth spruce and pine trees. It was just incredible. It was down at UBC, University of British Columbia, and that's kind of on the peninsula in the western part of Vancouver. And it's an area where there's still a lot of nature. I mean, there's a lot of nature in Vancouver to begin with. Stanley Park and some of the other parks there. And I had dinner one night with a family, and this is an interesting story, and it kind of relates a lot to vision. So a few years ago, I was actually teaching a workshop at an eye doctor's office in Vancouver, and the son, he was in his 30s, brought in his father who had had this terrible fall, and he hit his head, and they were searching for some answers. He had a very serious traumatic brain injury. He basically, you know, lost his memory, lost his balance. His vision was double vision. And he was really in a bad place. And so the son brought the father to the workshop. And I like to do demonstrations a lot. So I put him on the massage table and I started to do some craniosacral therapy on him, and I started to do some sound healing and medicinal aromatherapy and color therapy. And within 10 minutes of working on him, and there was a group of doctors in the room watching this, he actually began to talk in coherent sentences. And he actually sat up and he's like, man, I feel like myself again. So it was really amazing shift at that point. And of course, the doctors were like all skeptical. They're like, oh, come on, what is this? You know, it was sad that was their response. Anyways, they had such a positive response from me that they actually drove down to Santa Fe and they did an intensive with me over 3 days. And then I recommended they go out to California, and they did an intensive with Emily Conrad, the founder of Continuum. And we stayed in touch and we talked, and he actually healed the whole thing completely. So the dinner that we had last week was a celebration, and I was invited over to their house, and we had a great dinner there. They're Indian, so we had beautiful Indian food. And it was just amazing to see the shift, what's possible. It was kind of an illustration of what's possible in terms of neuroplasticity. So I was thrilled about that. So in the evening, one of the talks that I was giving, I was exploring how different visual patterns that we have do represent our attitudes, belief systems, and energetic imprints. And these particular factors are not really a true measure of our present seeing. And, you know, one of the questions that came up from the audience, actually there were several of them, is that conventional eye care really doesn't get it because they're blaming our deteriorating vision on the defective eyeball. And one of my principles that I teach from is that, well, what we do is we need to change the programming behind our eyes and become aware of the patterning of the brain, eyes, and body and energy fields that actually cause the defective eyeball in the first place. So that's an interesting twist in it, because in terms of allopathic eye care, we're constantly trying to treat symptoms and, you know, we're blaming it on the eyeball, and the eyeball is only going to age, and, you know, all those ideas that we have really, in my world, don't relate. So just to let you know, our phone lines are open if you want to call, if you have a question. It's a toll-free number, and it's 1-888-627-6008. I'll repeat that, 1-888-627-6008. If you have a question, comment, feel free to give us a ring. Be happy to talk with you. And those of you that want to visit my website, you can go there. It's www.drsamburn.com. This Friday, I'm actually doing a book signing in Santa Fe. I don't do a lot of local stuff in New Mexico and in Santa Fe, even though I had my private practice here for over 20 years. Most of my travels and teaching are other places. So it's a really neat opportunity for the community to come out. Last year, we had almost 50 people for my book signing of the book, I Sense. But my new book, Taking It In, is a book on how to offer better digestion for the eyes and overall wellness. And this is from children to adults. And one of the things that I emphasize is the acid-alkaline balance. And in the acid-alkaline balance, excess acidity in the body creates a breeding ground for disease. And this actually can sabotage weight loss. It can also cause chronic inflammation, diabetes, kidney conditions, including kidney stones. Those are painful. Weakened immunity, premature aging, osteoporosis, bone spurs, fractures, and endocrine balances. And so instead of having to go for a really expensive lab test, which they're really expensive today, it is very easy to test your pH using a pH litmus test that you can buy from a pharmacy. And my recommendation is that you test both your saliva and urine first thing in the morning, 1 hour before a meal, and or 2 hours after a meal. And it doesn't matter which test you do first, saliva or urine. With saliva, I would do that before brushing your teeth, fill your mouth with saliva and swallow, repeat again, then spit directly on the pH strip. And then on the urine, collect a small sample in a glass container and dip the strip in the container. So you find your pH, and if the pH of your saliva stays between 7 and 7.4 all day, your body is functioning normally. If your urinary pH fluctuates between 6 and 6.5, and 6.5 and 7 in the evening, this is a normal range. So first thing in the morning, the pH is definitely going to be more acidic due to detoxification through the night. So just remember, the lower numbers are more acidic, the higher numbers are more alkaline. So if your levels are too acidic, here are five things that you can do to help. Reduce chronic stress in your life, reduce high protein foods, processed cereals, flour, sugar, coffee, tea, and alcohol, especially the coffee. Upon rising in the morning and prior to meals, drink the juice of a half of a lemon in water. Eat dark colored green leafy vegetables, which are very alkalinizing. One cup of these per day, either spinach, kale, collards, or bok choy. And enjoy a miso or vegetable broth. Very simple to begin to recalibrate your body and become more adept at self-regulation. So in terms of my book signing, if you want to attend, it's from 5 to 6 p.m. this Friday at the ARC Bookstore in Santa Fe. Come on out. I'm going to give a lecture. We'll be talking not only about the acid-alkaline balance, but many other things for better health. So we're coming up to a break. I'm going to step away for a minute. This is 2020 iTalk, Dr. Sam Byrne.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding.
Hi, this is Dr. Sam Byrne. We're back. 2020 iTalk. So I hope you're doing well, and if you have a question, you want to give us a call, the phone number is 1-888-627-6008. And if you want to contact me, you can do so at visionwellness@cybermesa.com or go to my website, drsambyrne.com. Those of you that are visualizing about coming to Hawaii sometime, I'm going to be doing my dolphin swim retreat October 19th to the 23rd in Kona, Hawaii, and we have two spots left. So if you're interested, I would recommend giving my assistant Christy a call, 505-469-4949, so you can register. A couple folks up in Vancouver were giving it some thought, so we'll probably fill up like we usually do. It's an amazing retreat in Hawaii. First of all, you have the energies of the Big Island. That's where we do the retreat. Pele, the goddess volcano, just going there, that's going to burn up any resistances that you have. But actually then also swimming with the dolphins every day, you get into what we call the field of entanglement of those amazing beings. Very high frequency, high vibration. You get to swim in the ocean every day. And then we do eye work. We stay at a retreat center called Banyan Tree Sanctuary. And it's just right above Kona. Beautiful sunsets looking out over the Pacific Ocean. So if you're interested, get in touch with us and we'd be happy to have you on the retreat. It's going to be a good one this year. You know, it's interesting. Every year I do it, I think this is my eighth year doing it. It's like it's a perfect group because it's like spiritual family. We just all come together and we really gel together. And the things that we do together in terms of our group work is very potent. Last year we did an evening retreat, evening meditation during the retreat, healing the radiation in the ocean from the nuclear accident Fukushima. And we were using Tom Kenyon's meditation. If you don't know Tom Kenyon, he's an awesome guy. And he does great sound healing and channels the Hathars. So he's a very interesting fellow. But we did his meditation last year and people had amazing shifts, and also we felt that we really supported Mother Ocean in terms of cleaning her up and neutralizing the effects of the radiation from the Fukushima accident. So next year, I'm going to be putting out a new book. I just started writing it, and I want to talk a little bit about it. This is a subject that is, it's pretty mind-blowing, you know, when you think about it. And I wrote an article a few years ago in one of the optometry journals. I actually can't believe that they published it. And the title of the article was called "The Science of Measuring Wellness." And this particular research article that I wrote has to do with something called biofield research, which is a new discipline emerging in medicine and science. The biofields around us are dynamic, they convey information, and they help regulate the body's biochemistry and physiology. When we measure the biofields, we can see the effect of compression, trauma, toxicity, and stress patterns. The biofield is a bridge between the physical body and the energy field. So what I'm talking about here is something called biophoton emissions. I'll tell you a little story. Back in 2008 and the beginning of 2009, I was being taped for a TV interview on my approach in helping children with autism. And while I was at the interview in the studio, TV studio, there was a very funny and wonderful Indian man there. He was laughing, and at the break, he says, I want to introduce myself. I want to show you this really interesting instrument that's Russian, and it actually measures the energy fields, the chakras, and the acupuncture meridians of the body. I said, oh, wow, I want to see this. So we did a demonstration, and the name of the instrument is called a GDV camera. The scientific term is gas discharge visualization technique. A more layman's term would be called electrophotonic imaging. And in this particular camera that this Indian man had, basically the way it worked is that you would put each of your fingertips on the camera lens, and there was a high voltage charge that was running through the lens, and every time the charge would come through the camera lens, it created a biophoton emission of each of the fingertips. So in layman's terms, a biophoton emission is basically a light pattern that emerges as a result of an electrical charge that is touching the fingertip. And, you know, studying people like Fritz Albert Popp, P-O-P-P, who was an amazing physicist, he did a lot of research on the correlation between light, another term for light would be photons, and the body being comprised of mostly light energy or photon energy. And over the years, there have been other people who have measured the light coming off the body. Probably the most famous person was Curlian Photography. Seymour Curlian was an electrician. He was also an inventor. And he was really active in very early in the 1930s, 1940s. And he developed what we call the Curlian camera, which could measure the cloud, the energy coming off the body. But the downside of the Curlian camera is that it wasn't a scientific instrument. It was basically an instrument that could measure light coming off anything that was living. It could be leaves, plants, any plant, animals, humans, whatever. But there was a physicist in Russia, professor, in the mid-80s, who met with Kirlian, and he wanted to develop a Kirlian camera that was digital that actually had much more consistency in its readings. And his name is Konstantin Korotkov. And Dr. Korotkov was the inventor of this GDV camera, EPC, EPI camera. And he went through several transformations about developing the camera. But basically, the one that I saw in 2008, which is called a GDV Pro, is a camera that captures the biophoton emissions of the fingertips, and then through a proprietary software, converts the images to a full body energy measurement using the Chinese medicine system. So basically, the software programs plot the energy of the chakras using the Ayurvedic medical system and Chinese medicine using the acupuncture meridians and the biofields. And so this particular, as we say, informational system is a way to measure one of the deepest layers of our consciousness. Because not only are we dealing with physical, but when we are measuring the biofields, we're looking at the mental, psychological, and spiritual consciousness. So the intent is to work with health on a quantum level and not a molecular level. You know, most allopathic medicine focuses on the molecular level of health. And, you know, pharmaceuticals really don't connect us to the body, mind, spirit. You know, we are in pharmaceutical and technological medicine, we are not connecting to our own biointelligence for healing, because the pharmaceuticals are staying on a molecular level and only treating symptoms. And they just don't address causative factors. But when we start using tools of quantum mechanics, we can look at the data from the body's own photons and electrons, and we can monitor wellness this way. And every biological structure, both receives and emits energies from the environment and within the body. We call that a biophoton stream. And physicists have actually shown that when we look through an infrared filter, our bodies are emitting about 100 watts of light. One atom from the skin puts out about 2,000 photons per second. So we are like antennas. When we receive light, we are also opening up to a certain type of response from our environment. One of the things that I talk about in my work with the GDV camera is that when we become aware of the energy patterns that we are emitting from the body, we are actually entraining the environment around us to support and keep us in those energy patterns. So if we change the energy pattern, then we actually can change the environment. And this goes along with some of the research that's been done in genetics. Epigenetics is a term that's been used that reflects that it isn't just the genes that are informing the DNA based on heredity, but it's really the environment that is informing the genes. And so when we have that kind of a model, we move away from the victim consciousness that you know, because such and such my family member had this particular disease, like a cataract, for example, that doesn't necessarily mean we are going to get a cataract, even though the mainstream kind of pushes that idea. But it's a myth. It's a lie. It's not really what's happening. Okay, we are coming up to another break. So when we return, I'm going to continue this conversation about the science of measuring wellness. This is Dr. Sam Byrne, 2020 iTalk.
We feel it all. We come from the light, and to it we shall return. We are the one, and in this truth we live here and now upon the earth.
Hi, this is Dr. Sam Byrne, 2020 iTalk. And we're discussing today the science of measuring wellness. And this is a huge topic. I mean, so this is the premise of my new book that I'm writing right now about including the ideas of using biophoton emissions as a way to monitor and measure the body. You know, I first got into this when I was a child. One of the things that really fascinated me was this idea of magnetism and how I could rearrange iron fillings on a piece of paper by moving a magnet beneath the paper. And the invisible power that a magnet has was really intriguing to me. And, you know, we can talk about all the invisible powers of energy, whether it's magnetism or gravity, because sometimes I'll give a talk, I've given lectures on biophoton emissions to pretty hardcore scientists, and they're all very skeptical about it because, you know, if we don't see it, how can we believe it? And when you start talking about energy fields and chakras and acupuncture meridians, you lose a lot of scientists. And this is where there is a rift today in science and medicine, because we are not including or being inclusive in the idea that, well, maybe part of our energy is invisible, and that if we could measure it and we could work with it, that actually we would see health problems much earlier before they enter the physical body. You know, when I was in optometry school, most of the academics was focused on, you know, physics, but physics in the area of, you know, Newtonian reductionist thinking. And it's interesting because the eye needs light in order to see. But in optometry school, although we studied geometric and physiological optics, we didn't really study, you know, the movement of energy into the eye or the flow of the energy out of the eye. You know, the flow of energy out of the eye is just as important as the flow of energy into the eye. It's kind of like our inhale, exhale kind of a thing. And fortunately, you know, when I got out of school, I began exploring different ways to heal the eyes and body using light and color therapy. And light therapy, you know, is still a keystone in my work with patients. Because what happens is that just on a visual level, and the eyes are one of the main portals for light entering the body, is that due to stress and toxicity and trauma, that we begin to lose our sensitivity to light. I call it being desensitized to light onto the retina. And when that happens, what ends up going on is that the brain says, I'm just going to ignore the light, and we start developing these blind spots. So our peripheral vision begins to shrink. Also see it on the biofield emissions, that when our light energy is less, a lot of times our biofield energy will be imbalanced. Either we have spikes in the field, holes in the field, and we can see things like inflammatory response. We can see very early birth traumas and other traumas, and we can see toxicities based on the energy pattern of the biofield. So how does the GDV camera work? That's a question that I get quite a bit, because, you know, if you think about it, okay, I'm putting my fingertips on the lens. Basically, what's happening is that every time there's this pulse along the camera lens, it's producing a photon emission of each of the fingertips. And the fingertips represent the endpoints of the 12 major acupuncture meridians. And so when we take these biophoton emissions of the fingertips and we convert them through the proprietary software, we then are able to get a whole body energy field picture, both on a physical, emotional, and spiritual level. We actually take two sets of readings. One set we do where we put a filter on the glass lens, and then we do a second reading where we take the filter off the lens. And so we're getting, the first reading is for our spiritual energy, and the second reading is for our physical energy. So the biofield consists of both energy fields and chakras, and these energy fields are comprised of electrical, electromagnetic, and subtle energies that support our vitality and wellness. And when we are out of balance, if there's a disease process going on, we actually will see it imprinted on the energy field. Whether you see spikes or spaces or unevenness or jaggedness, these energy field imprints will reflect our physiological and spiritual health. And the energy patterns actually tell our story and show us how we are reacting to life situations. The chakra system is really interesting because it is the second part of the biofield, and we know that the chakras originate from the Eastern philosophies of India, and they're over 4,000 years old. We've applied them to yoga philosophy and Ayurvedic medicine. The chakras are comprised of the seven main energy centers. There are also other energy centers, but in terms of the camera, there's seven main centers that we use. And each chakra is linked to glands, organs, and the nervous system in an integrated fashion. The larger each chakra is, and the more aligned the chakras are to the midline, the more a person can support their wellness. It's more the more resource they have with themselves. And comparing the seven chakras of the rainbow, with red being the slowest color, the first chakra, and violet being the fastest color, which is our seventh chakra, the lower chakras tell us about our connection to the earth, family, survival, and ego, and the middle chakras tell us about our ability to love and express ourselves, and then the upper chakras tell us about how we see and connect to higher thoughts of consciousness. So in the article that I presented, and if you want a copy of the article, contact us and we can send it to you, I was monitoring a six-year-old, his name was Raymond, and he was diagnosed with a condition called Asperger's syndrome. And he had all kinds of vision problems. He had a very challenging birth and early childhood experience, a lot of behavioral issues, a lot of vision problems, learning issues. So I applied a three-month program with him, combining my movement therapy with vision therapy, light therapy, nutrition work, and we also supported him with better nutrition through biochemical testing. And when I took his energy field initially, it was it was so distorted, and there were so many holes in the field. When you looked at the field, you just saw this this child who was completely depleted, who was reacting to every little thing to the environment because basically the energy was so distorted. And then when I remeasured his energy field about 6 months later, the fields were much brighter, much clearer, much cleaner, much more consistent, and much more smooth in terms of, so there's a lot less jaggedness. So the therapy that I applied to him really improved his biofield. In terms of the chakra measurement, the first time I took a chakra measurement, his first, second, and third chakras were so off on the right side of the midline. They were so far off away from that middle area. And the only two chakras that were actually on the midline were his heart chakra and his throat chakra, and his third eye and his seventh chakra also way off to the right side. And in December, when I remeasured his chakras, all of his chakras were lined up. So how does this relate to his behavior, his performance? Well, basically, he became a different child by going through my program. First of all, his teacher was amazed how his behavior went from, you know, being all over the place to actually reading, copying from the board, interacting socially in a very easy way with people. And his parents said that, you know, he was now establishing eye contact. He was interested in playing sports. He was doing art. And basically, the energy fields reflected this change in behavior, performance, and him coming home to himself. And I have hundreds of cases like this, and monitoring using the biofield measurements as a way to monitor the energy patterns. Pretty exciting stuff, I can tell you that. You know, it was really interesting. I first got introduced to energy fields in 1994 when I met Dr. Hazel Parcells. I've talked about her on other shows. Dr. Parcells was a naturopath and a chiropractor. She was starting a retreat center at the age of 103 when I met her. And when I went up to her institute outside of Las Vegas, New Mexico, that's about an hour and a half north of Santa Fe. Her clinic was helping patients from all over the world, but what she was doing is she was broadcasting energies and frequencies to people's blood spots. They weren't even geographically in the same physical space as Dr. Parcells' clinic, but she was actually broadcasting all these frequencies. And it was the first time that I became aware of the idea of the non-local field, that we don't have to be in the same physical environment, but we can still be part of a field of energy. So when I saw this, my left brain said, this is impossible. I don't believe this. And yet all the results that people were sharing was pretty amazing. So I, you know, asked Dr. Parcells, how do you measure this? And of course, she was using things like pendulums and, you know, she wasn't really using a lot of scientific instruments in her measuring, although she was getting results. So I struggled with this for many years. 1994, it was almost 14 years. And that's when I was introduced to the GDV camera. And in the GDV camera, I then began to understand the possibility of being able to measure energy fields, but not have to be in the same physical space. So we are coming up to another break. So I'm going to step away for a minute. And when we return, we will continue our discussion on the science of measuring wellness.
Crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she
Thank you. And we are back. This is Dr. Sam Byrne, 2020 iTalk. Hope everybody's having a really great day. I am. And we're in kind of the midst of autumn. We get a lot of yellow in our colors up in the mountains because of the aspens changing. And the cottonwoods are also next in terms of moving more into our winter season. I really like New Mexico. I like the climate here. It's, you get four seasons, and living at about 8,000 feet, it's really, really nice in the summertime. So that usually doesn't get too hot. We've had a really rainy summer, which is good for New Mexico because we've been in drought, and we need to send some of that rain to California. Hopefully those folks can get some weather, some rain soon. So I'm back and I'm talking about the science of measuring wellness. And since I've been exploring energy and healing, there's some hypotheses that I've come up with and I want to share them with you. Some things that I'm thinking about in terms of, you know, using biofield measurements on the body. So the first hypothesis is that all living things are interrelated and interconnected. The second hypothesis is all living things communicate through both biological and electromagnetic fields. All living things can affect and be affected by both planetary and energetic fields and the Earth's magnetic fields. Another hypothesis I've explored is both magnetic and bioenergetic fields affect our biorhythms, which include our heart rate, breathing pattern, fluid resonance, nervous system, and brain waves. And finally, if all living things broadcast love, compassion, and gratitude, we could offset the current incoherence and stress waves that surround us. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? So I've been really exploring the field of, biofield science and energy medicine. My book, I Sense, was a place that I actually talked about some of the research projects I did, applying things like light therapy before and after and measuring the biofield, applying medicinal aromatherapy before and measuring the biofields before and after, doing craniosacral therapy on people, measuring the biofield before and after. And one of my favorites is in, I think it was 2010, I took my electrophotonic imaging camera, GDV camera, to Hawaii, and we actually measured people's energy fields each day before we got on the boat. And then we would swim with the dolphins, and then we would measure their energy fields right after they got off the boat, and then an hour later, and then 2 hours later. And it was really interesting to see the changes in people's energy fields initially when they first got off the boat. A lot of times their energy fields were much more disorganized. And the interesting thing about the biofield measurement is that sometimes after you receive a modality, your energy fields will look worse. They'll look more confused afterwards, more chaotic. And that's just our system trying to take the new information in and reorganizing it in a way where we now have a deeper sense of coherence and balance. And I did that study for, I think, 2 years. And then I went to Dr. Korotkov's conference. He has a conference every year called Science, Light, and Consciousness. It's actually in St. Petersburg, Russia. And I went there and I presented my dolphin results to a group of about 180 scientists. And I have to admit, I was a little nervous because you know, swimming with the dolphins is kind of a non-scientific experience in some ways. And yet, these scientists in Russia, and there were only about two or three people from the United States. Everybody was from Europe and Japan and Russia. And they actually really loved the scientific experiment that I did with the dolphins. And it was very well received. I really enjoyed the conference, and it was really interesting to travel in Russia. I just thought that the scientists, not only were they really steeped in pretty scientific philosophy and principles, but they also had a mystical side to them. And I think in the new science, bringing in both the right brain and the left brain is essential. It's what I've been talking about in terms of doctors having more of a right brain, left brain balance, and not just being steeped in the left brain in terms of our indoctrination. So we're coming up towards the end of the show, and I want to leave you with one thought, and that is that, you know, there are certain electromagnetic fields in our atmosphere that influence us. And there's one in particular that is very influential. It's called the Schumann resonance. And it vibrates at about 7.8 hertz. And this particular wave pattern that runs from the ionosphere to the from the Earth's, the ground of the Earth, all the way up to the ionosphere, actually helps us repattern and rebalance our endocrine system, our nervous system. So it's a very slow wave that runs through us. And for most people, they're not even aware of the Schumann resonance. Some things that are taking us further away from the Schumann resonance are the electronics, the speed of the electronics. And we are kind of running at a very fast pace right now. And it's one of the reasons why our health is going downhill, because of the compression and the speed with which we live by. And so in order to connect more with the Schumann resonance, one of the things that you can do is go into nature and walk in nature, sit in nature. Another thing that you can do is in our practice of continuum movement, we find when we kind of drop down into our body more and we slow down, that we essentially then can move into the Schumann resonance. And that slow speed is critically important in nourishing and rebalancing ourselves. It's really important. So slow down, receive, take it in, and thanks for listening.
Please visit drsamburn.com/events to learn more about his workshops, webinars, and professional trainings. To order Dr. Burn's new book, Taking It In, please contact Vision Wellness at cybermesa.com or call us at 505-469-4949. The Burn Method is a trademark system, and no part of this show can be copied or used without the consent of Dr. Sam Burn.